Ayurajamadhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janaballabha Girivaradhari Gopi Janaballabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janaballabha Girivaradhari Gopi Janaballabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayom Vishnupad Paramhamsa Paribhraja Charaja Astotar Sata Sri Srimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupad Ki Jai Jayom Vishnupad Paramhamsa Paribhraja Charaja Astotar Sata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupad Ki Jai Ananti Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai प्रेमसिकहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु निथानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगामयी की जय। यमुनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। गौ प्रेमानंदी। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ya Esha Rajan Api Kala Ishita Satvam Suranikam Ivaidhayati Atha Tat Pratyanikam Asuran Surapriyo Rajas Tamaskan Praminoti Urushrava Ya Esa Rajan Apikala Ishita Satvam Surani Kamavaidayat Yata Tat pratyanikan asuran surapriyo Rajas tamaskan praminotyurushrava O King, this time factor enhances the sattva guna. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is the controller, He favors the demigods, who are mostly situated in sattva guna. Then the demons who are influenced by tamoguna are annihilated. The Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways, but he is never partial. Rather, his activities are glorious. Therefore, he is called Urushrava. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarvabhuteshu namedveshosti napriya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be partial. He is always equal to everyone. Therefore, when the demigods are favored and the demons killed, this is not partiality, but the influence of the time factor. A good example in this regard is that an electrician connects both a heater and a cooler to the same electrical energy. The cause of the heating and cooling is the electrician's manipulation of the electrical energy according to his desire. But factually, the electrician has nothing to do with causing heat or cold, nor with the enjoyment or suffering that results. There have been many historical incidents in which the Lord killed a demon, but the demon attained a higher position by the mercy of the Lord. Putana is an example. Putana's purpose was to kill Krishna. Ahobakiyamstanakalakutam. She approached the house of Nanda Maharaj with the purpose of killing Krishna by smearing poison on her breast. Yet when she was killed, she attained the highest position, achieving the status of Krishna's mother. Krishna is so kind and impartial that because he sucked Putana's breast, he immediately accepted her as his mother. This superfluous activity of killing Putana did not diminish the Lord's impartiality. He is Suhridam Saravabhutanam, the friend of everyone. Therefore, partiality cannot apply to the character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always maintains his position as the Supreme Controller. The Lord killed Putana as an enemy, but because of his being the Supreme Controller, she attained an exalted position as his mother. Srila Madhava Muni, therefore, remarks, Kala, Kale Kala Vishaye, Pishita, Dehadi, Karanatravat, Suranikam Ishas Ditam Satvam. Ordinarily, a murderer is hanged, and in the Manu Samhita, it is said that a king bestows mercy upon a murderer by killing him, thus saving him from various kinds of suffering. Because of his sinful activities, such a murderer is killed by the mercy of the king. Krishna, the supreme judge, deals with matters in a similar way because he is the supreme controller. The conclusion, therefore, is that the Lord is always impartial and always very kind to all living entities. Om Ajnanti Midandasya Jananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. O King, this time factor enhances the sattva guna. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is the controller, he favors the demigods, who are mostly situated in sattva guna. then the demons who are influenced by tamaguna are annihilated. The Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways, but he is never partial. Rather, his activities are glorious. Therefore, he is called Urushrava. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, entitled The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone, Text 12. Parikshit Maharaj, who was hearing the narration of Sukadeva Goswami in rapt attention, deeply wants to understand everything that is being spoken to his capacity. Even subtle points that Sukadeva Goswami may speak, Parikshit Maharaj wants a comprehensive understanding. Because the deeper we know the qualities of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, and how the Lord controls both the material and spiritual worlds, the more our love for God awakens. Because when hearing from someone who loves Krishna, their love is manifesting in sound vibration. In the parampara, when we repeat these words, the love, the surrender, the devotion of all the previous acharyas are coming out from the mouth of that person who speaks. And according to our receptivity, according to our absorption, we are transformed by that sound vibration. Parikshit Maharaj had only 7 days to live. He was absorbed. He deeply wanted to understand these details, especially the details on fundamental principles. And this is a very fundamental principle, that God is said to be equal to everyone. Samoham sarvabhuteshu namedveshosti napriya. In the Gita, he says, I envy no one. I'm equal to all. If this is the case, and why he also tells, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chuduskritam dharma samstapanara daya sambhavami juge juge. He protects the devotees and he annihilates the miscreants. Is that equality? Is that impartiality? Sukadeva Goswami declares, yes, it is perfect impartiality. Krishna is the cause of all causes. But every living entity, being a part of Krishna, has swaraj, has free will. And how we utilize our free will is what will determine how material nature acts upon us through the laws of karma. And Krishna is the creator and controller of the laws of karma. Therefore, Krishna is sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. One may ask, if I commit a violent, sinful activity, if Krishna is the cause of all causes, then why am I responsible? Krishna is the cause. Krishna is the essential cause of everything. But we, as living entities with free will, are the secondary cause. But the secondary cause cannot exist without the essential cause. Example, Krishna gives us ears. And he also gives us the power to hear. And he also gives us the object to hear. It's all his creation. So the cause of all hearing is Krishna. So he is the cause of everything you hear. But you have the free will, what you want to hear. You can hear prajalpa, you can hear blasphemy, you can hear mundane subjects, or you can hear the transcendental glories of the Lord. Krishna facilitates everything. Therefore, he's the cause. But we have the choice. Krishna has created our eyes, he has created the power to see, and he has created all the objects of sight. So he's the cause of your seeing. You cannot claim credit for being able to see. You have to give the credit to Krishna. But we have a choice. We could look at sensual objects that agitate the mind, or we could see the beautiful form of the Lord and use our eyes for the higher purpose of devotional service. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, he was praying to Krishna to give him the power to speak. Because we have no power to speak. The ahankar, or the false ego, is when we forget that Krishna is the cause of all causes. If you give a wonderful lecture, if you take credit for it, that is an illusion. And it's karmically bonding also. Because Krishna has given us the mouth to speak. He's given us sound vibration to vibrate. So the power of speech is Krishna. But we have the choice what we're going to speak. It could either elevate us or degrade us. Krishna is impartial. He gives you all facility, and then he gives us the choice. But every choice we make, there will be a reaction. And how are those reactions taking place? Through the power of time, who is also Krishna. When Krishna creates the cosmic manifestation within the Mahatattva, is all the ingredients of material nature. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and the ego. It's all there. Krishna puts it all, but it's inactive. Then the Lord creates the three gunas, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But still, it's totally inactive. There's nothing happening. Then the Lord, through his glance, he impregnates innumerable living entities. But they're all sound asleep. They have no consciousness of anything. They're in deep sleep. Then Krishna invokes the time factor. Krishna says, "Time I am, the controller of everything." When Krishna enters into the cosmic manifestation of the Mahatattva as time, time activates the three modes of material nature. Then the three modes of material nature activate all the elements of material creation. And the spirit soul, the jivatma, awakens according to his or her own particular karma, is affected by those three modes of material nature and takes on particular types of bodies consisting of the eight elements and has a particular frame of mind according to our previous actions, even in previous cosmic manifestations. The time of the annihilation of cosmic manifestation, Lord Vishnu goes into his yoga nidra and he inhales, and all living entities just go to sleep with him. Hare Krishna. Just all our karmas, all our desires, everything from our previous lives is there, but it's totally dormant. And then when he glances, he impregnates all the living entities who are karmically meant to be in universal creation. And then through time, activates everything. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of an electrician. If you have an electrical appliance, it really can't do anything unless there's a current. Yes. We have these very nice sound system with microphone. But if there's no electrical current, there's no function. No sound can possibly come out of any of those speakers. Not a whisper without an electrical current. But as soon as there's an electrical current, it activates the microphone, then it activates the amplifier, it activates, it sends the current and the particular signals to the speakers, and then that sound comes out and it comes into our ears. And then it activates our mind to think so many things. And according to how we're listening, it will activate what we do, what we say, everything. So that current is like the time factor. It activates everything, everywhere, and everyone within material creation. And how we are affected by time is determined by our free will, the choices we make. Krishna never takes away our free will. We may have no choice of what we're enjoying or suffering due to our past activities, because we have launched that into motion. If you have misused people or abused people in a past life or earlier in this life, then you will be misused and abused some way or other. You will suffer the consequent misery of what you have done. There's nothing you can do about that. But under that situation of what you have created upon yourself, you have the freedom of how to respond. And that will determine our future. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches Taror Ibasa Hishnuna, to be tolerant like a tree. Tatenu kampam susamiksha mano bunjana evatmakritam vipagam. Ridvadva purvir pitadam namaste jivete yamukta pade sadayabhak. This verse by Lord Brahma is very crucial to have an understanding of how to live within this world and make progress. Because sufferings will come. But how do we understand the suffering? How do we respond to the suffering? That will determine our future. If we have done something bad to someone and it's coming back on us, if we retaliate by doing the same thing again, then we're just perpetuating our misery. Perpetuating. We may appear to get some emotional or physical relief at the immediate future. But a civilized person follows the principle of shreyas, not prayas. The animals, they are thinking of the immediate.
what's happening and what's in it for me.
But a civilized human being understands that he or she is responsible for our every action and our every word. And there will be a reaction. And such a person is conscious. Ishvara sarva bhutanam, that the Lord is within our heart. He's watching everything. He's the one. It is the Paramatma within the heart that ultimately is facilitating all this karmic action and reaction. Krishna knows everything everyone has done for all eternity in the past and in the present, especially. Future, Krishna knows, but even in his knowing, he is so great, he does not interfere with our free will. So therefore, when difficulties come upon us, Lord Brahma prays, a devotee understands it's due to my past karma. There's nothing I can do about what's happening to me. But everything I can do about what my future will be, by how I respond. If we tolerate it with folded palms, praying, Krishna, I'm yours. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for whatever's happening because it's an opportunity for me to give my heart and surrender to you. One who is willing to do that. It's not a question of who's able to do it. It's a question of who's willing to do it. Because if we have the will, Krishna helps us. He tells that he will carry what we lack and he will preserve whatever we have. When Srila Prabhupada was praying on Jaladutta, please give me the words to speak. Your words will purify their hearts. And your giving me the power to speak will make your words penetrate their hearts and transform them so that they can be really happy. This is profound. This is such deep philosophy in this little prayer. He's not taking credit for anything. He's just being the instrument. But he's being a good instrument. He's being an instrument of love rather than an instrument of envy. It's your words, Krishna. And you only can give me the power to speak those words. And you only could give the power of my listeners the ability to understand. That's when Srila Prabhupada was praised, he never took credit. He said, my only qualification is I'm just repeating the words of my Guru Maharaj. As soon as you take credit for anything that you can do, you're an illusion. You're actually karmically bound. Even in devotional service. We're performing wonderful devotional service, which is transcendental to the modes of material nature. But if we're taking the credit for what we do and not understanding the reality, that it's only Krishna's empowerment that makes it possible. If that current of Krishna's empowerment is not in me, what can I do? We can't see, we can't hear, we can't talk, we can't think, we can't love, we can't do anything. So those living entities in a human form of life who are in ignorance of the reality that Krishna is the cause of all causes, they take credit. Usually we want to take credit for the good things and we want to give blame to the bad things. Yes?
And even we find sometimes devotees fall into this trap. It actually has nothing to do whatsoever with Krishna consciousness. If we've been mistreated, if we're suffering, whether it's by adiatmaka, adidaivaka, or adibhautika, sufferings caused by my own body and mind, by other living beings, even devotees, or sufferings due to natural circumstances, if we blame someone for that, we're just perpetuating our own miseries. Although it feels good, because the ahankar, the false ego, wants to take credit for the great things, but wants to give blame to others for those things where I'm suffering, or things are not right, my failures. But ultimately, transcending the modes of material nature is not just what we do, but it's the consciousness in which we do it. Srila Prabhupada writes, Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered, not the thing, not just the action, but the purpose in which it is done. So if our purpose of even performing devotional service is to take glory, to get credit, to get position, to get power, to get fame, it's devotional service in the mode of passion, or maybe ignorance. And there'll be karmic reactions to that. Not exactly just like regular karma, but Krishna will reciprocate. Because our consciousness is not right. So instead of blaming others and losing the chance to find Krishna in that difficult situation, we should gratefully take shelter. We have seen several devotees dying. Very, very difficult. Dying of cancer is generally extremely painful for a long time. Sometimes months, sometimes even years. Yesterday I was at Radharas Bihari Temple. And one devotee was telling me that this lady who was coming to the temple for many long years, she was fighting against cancer and suffering miserably for 17 years. Hare Krishna. And she came one morning and offered a garland to Srimati Radharani. And later that day, she passed away. And as an instrument of Sri Radharani, that devotee brought the same garland that Radharani wore and put it on her body. So very difficult. 17 years. Other people, 6 months, 1 year. Very painful. And the easy thing to do is blame God. What have I done to deserve this? But this lady, she's offering gifts to Radha and Krishna in that situation. And Krishna will reciprocate. Here in Radha Gopinath Temple, we have seen with little Stoka Krishna Prabhu. He was not bitter about his pain. He just accepted it all with a grateful heart. I deserve worse. But all the opportunities I was given in my life of, 33, 34 years, I had so many opportunities to chant the holy names of the Lord, so many opportunities to associate and serve the Vaishnavas. I got to read so many pages of Srila Prabhupada's books and hear so many classes. I was allowed to do so much service. How glorious. What a wonderful life. Doesn't matter that I have to suffer and die. What matters is all the opportunities I had to be with Krishna, to purify my life. He was grateful. And although physically suffering and emotionally in great stress, he was smiling. It was great. He was grateful and just willing to accept suffering and death if that's what will help him. And there are so many more examples, exactly the same, of devotees who go through such difficulties. It's difficult. So yes, Krishna is the cause of all causes. He gives us the power to surrender to him or to reject him, to serve him or to serve our own arrogant nature. And according to the choice we make, through the material elements which are activated and controlled by time, we will get the reaction. But Krishna is everyone's well-wisher. Ultimately, Krishna does what's best for everyone. Physical pain to the body and mind may seem unbearable. Why? But Krishna doesn't see simply from the perspective of this insignificant little span of life that you're in this body. He's seeing you as an eternal soul with no beginning and no end. What is a few years? We create our suffering. We create our destiny. We cannot blame God. But God creates the whole process of destiny and gives us all the facilities and the free will by which we can create our own destiny. Srila Prabhupada is citing the story of Putana. Very inconceivable. She was a demon who killed so many babies. She loved to eat the flesh and drink the blood of babies, human babies. Hare Krishna. She was a serious serial killer. Can you imagine the news she would get in today's world? This monstrous woman is just killing thousands of babies and eating their flesh and drinking their blood. Would make great news. Yes, it would be the news of the world. And the culmination, she wanted to kill Krishna. Brahma Vaivarta Purana explains how in previous life Putana was the younger sister of Bali Maharaj. When Lord Vamanadev came to beg for 3 steps of land, he was very small. He was a child. Vamanadev was a Krishna in a child form. He was so beautiful. Bali Maharaj's sister, Ratnamala, immediately motherly love awakened within her heart for this beautiful little child that was coming with a little stick, a little begging bowl. Yes. Just like when little children, when they do things like this morning, one little child was offering obeisances to Srila Prabhupada during Guru Puja, and he was just laying there for a long time, chanting mantras or whatever else. And more people were looking at him than Prabhupada. Even me. Because it was just so sweet, so nice to see a little child do something that adults would do. Now when adults do it, nobody takes their eyes off Prabhupada. When a little child do it, oh, how nice, how nice. So there's something about being a little child that brings about attraction to other people's hearts. Soft-hearted people, when they see a child smiling, their hearts melt with happiness. Soft-hearted people, when they see a child crying, it affects them. They feel very deeply. Of course, children are innocent. And they just look so special, just these little bodies. Doing all nice things, playing and screaming. So Ratnamala saw little Vamanadev. He comes, and as soon as she saw him, motherly love awakened within her heart. But then Bali Maharaj offers Vamanadev 3 steps of land on his request. And then when Vamanadev grew, he no longer looked like a little child. He was gigantic. He grew into the sky. And with one step, he covered half the universe. With the other step, he covered the other half of the universe. He was no longer that cute little child. He was an immense, powerful form of God. And he took everything away from Bali Maharaj, everything. And then he imprisoned him, tied him up with ropes, brought him to court, said, "You are a thief, you are a liar. You promised me 3 steps, 2, where's the other? You have to keep your word." At that point, seeing her brother being plundered of everything, and made into a prisoner, she felt animosity toward Vamanadev. So what is the reaction? In her next life, she both had motherly love and animosity. And Krishna is so expert in just putting everything together so nicely to form Putana. Putana is a powerful demon. Demoness who wants to kill Krishna. She has a passion to kill Krishna. But somewhere dormant down there was motherly love. When she first saw Krishna, some motherly love awakened within her. It was small compared to her lust to kill him. But it was there. Krishna is impartial. You have motherly love and you desire to kill me. So Krishna sucked her breast milk. Then he sucked her life air. And he was squeezing with his little tiny fingers and kicking with his little lotus feet. It was so painful to Putana. She ran outside the house and expanded into a form. What was it? 8 miles long. Huge. Huge. Something like Vamanadev. But she was grotesque. She was really a horrible looking being. And here she was, 8 miles in size. And Krishna didn't grow. Can you imagine? He must have been just like a little speck on her. It's like just squeezing and kicking, sucking. and she was screaming in pain. Because whether Krishna is bigger than the biggest or smaller than the smallest, all of his potencies, all of his powers are always there. The Paramatma is not only within the heart of every living being, but the Paramatma is residing in and between each atom of material creation. Hare Krishna. Smaller than the smallest, but yet, even in that form, all the potencies and powers of the Absolute Truth are present. That is Krishna, Achintya Shakti. So he sucked and sucked and sucked, and Putana suffered miserably. It wasn't fun for her. It was serious suffering. She was screaming, howling, trying to defend herself with all her strength. She was helpless. And ultimately, after Krishna sucked out all her anartas, all that animosity, all that desire to kill him, was just sucked right out of her. And at the end, there was only one thing left, her motherly love. So she died in a state of motherly love to Krishna. And Krishna gave her liberation in Goloka as one of his nurses who loved him with him as a mother. The Prabhupada is using this as an example. How Krishna is so equal. He's ultimately everyone's well-wisher. But we have to be able to see within the realm of justice. We may be trying to manipulate situations so that we don't have to get such penalties for what we have done. Maybe it's unfair. That's another thing. On the level of justice and management, administration, these subjects are there that we have to consider. But that's not going to help our spiritual lives. That's just going to try to help the social situation to some extent. The real thing a devotee feels is whatever's coming is ultimately for my good, however it comes. We may not understand how it's fair or unfair. Because what do we know about our karma? What do we know about our past? What do we know about Krishna's inconceivable mercy? Tateno kampam susamikshamana. With folded palms, Krishna, I'm grateful. Let me surrender to you. And in surrendering to Krishna in that situation, even Jagai and Madhai, it's irrelevant all the sins that they committed after they surrendered to Krishna wholeheartedly. Dina hina yata chilo harinam udharilo tara sakshi Jagai Madhai. And how do we surrender to Krishna? By taking shelter of the Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnavas, Krishna is manifesting through their words. Krishna is present very much in their hearts. And how we reciprocate with his devotees are how we reciprocate with God. Through the beautiful form of the deity, our prayers, our seva, to carrying out the instructions of the great souls in our lives by hearing about Krishna. But the most powerful, expedient, and all-inclusive method of taking shelter of Krishna is to attentively absorb ourselves in chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna. In this verse, the time factor, according to the overall karma of the cosmos, or the perhaps our particular planet, sometimes the time factor energizes the mode of ignorance predominantly. Sometimes the mode of passion and mode of goodness. Externally. That is why sometimes we find in the scriptures that the demons conquer everything. Yes? In fact, we see it a lot in this world today in Kali Yuga. Hiranyakashipu conquered the devatas. He was in the mode of passion and ignorance, and he conquered those in the mode of goodness. How is that possible? In the story of Indra, when Bali Maharaj, who was king of the Asuras, came marching into Indraloka, Indra turned to his guru, Brihaspati, and said, "What do we do?" Brihaspati said, "Run and hide." There's nothing you can do. The time factor is now favoring these devotees, these demons. Just be patient. Somehow or other, they please the sages, and they have blessings. And right now, the time factor is energizing their modes. So you will not be successful fighting against them now. But, essentially, the mode of goodness prevails in due course of time. That is the way the time factor works. So that time can energize the modes of goodness and ignorance and passion for some time, but essentially the mode of goodness prevails, wherever it is there. So just be patient. And actually, from what we see in the Shastras, Indra and his colleagues were more Krishna conscious when they were hiding. They were taking shelter. They had no other shelter. Otherwise, they would forget about Krishna and just, "I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am the proprietor." That tendency is there, even though they're devotees. But when everything's gone, all they could do is take shelter. And then when Krishna gives everything back, their hearts have been enriched. Just like when Bali Maharaj lost everything. Now, if you had tremendous power, tremendous wealth, tremendous prestige, and all of a sudden, instantly, you lose everything, every bit of your wealth, all of your prestige, your position, and you're just a tied up, helpless prisoner, would your grandparents be happy to see you in that state? They would probably be crying in agony. "Oh, what has happened to my child?" Well, that was not the case with Bali Maharaj. His grandfather, Prahlad, who was no longer a five-year-old boy, Prahlad appeared. And Bali Maharaj wanted to offer his obeisances, but he couldn't. He was tied up. He can't move. All he could do is just bend his head down to offer his pranams. And Prahlad Maharaj was praising the good fortune of Bali Maharaj to be in that predicament. He was happier with him in this predicament than he was when he was the king of the universe. Because Bali Maharaj was in a situation where he was really receptive to the Lord's complete mercy. All these other distractions were eliminated. So a devotee is saragrahi. He's looking for the essence in every situation. Is there any questions or comments? Yes, Gaur Hari Prabhu. Gaur Hari Prabhu received his PhD at IIT and then worked for IBM and traveled around the world doing so many high-level occupational services. And now he is the culmination of IIT, IBM, he's now in IYF. ISKCON Youth Foundation at IIT. How do you go?
Thank you so much for the wonderful class, Maharaj. Maharaj, you mentioned that sometimes if we are doing some service, devotees or everyone might appreciate your service. And especially devotees are like honeybees. So even if you're filled with unlimited vices, they just look at the good quality in you. So very often in conversations, devotees might appreciate your good qualities from their heart. But it's always a predicament, because even if we intellectually, while hearing, we offer all the credit to a guru and Vaishnavas, but still there's so much, the false ego is so strong. There's a subtle force by which we start thinking, I am the doer, if we hear this repeatedly. So is it safer to just avoid hearing altogether and run away? Or is it better to hear and try our best to offer all the credit to Krishna and Guru?
Where will you run to? We should do what pleases Krishna. If we do something good for Krishna and good for others, we may get praised. So is it better to be cruel to others so that we won't be praised? Not at all. And if we run from the battlefield so nobody says anything about us, is that favorable for devotional service? Krishna tells Arjuna, if you run, then you are delinquent in your duty. That will not please me. If you take the credit for winning or even losing, same thing. You'll be bound by karma. So if we have proper sadhana, and we cultivate the proper attitude by hearing and chanting and association, then with our intelligence, we'll understand what's happening when false pride begins to overcome us. There's nothing negative about feeling good when you're appreciated. Devotees need that. But we should understand how. When we do something nice and people say, oh, that was very nice, we should be thinking that actually I'm just the instrument. But that these devotees are seeing something good in me, that is their greatness. Yes? A humble person, when they're praised, will think that this is the greatness of that person who's praising me for seeing that in me. It's not my greatness. It's the greatness of the persons who's seeing good in me. And it's the greatness of the person who has empowered me to do something that he could see good in me. So actually, when a devotee who is sincere is praised, it doesn't make him or her proud, it makes them humble. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
But you are super wonderful, Vaishnava. And you have done such wonderful service, and you're doing such wonderful service, and everyone should show our appreciation for Gaur Hari Prabhu by loudly chanting. After so many years abroad, the whole time just doing it to ultimately serve an instruction, to come back and be a professor at IIT, to help others to take to Krishna consciousness. That was his motive. It was his motive for making money. It was his motive for going to America and for going to England and to going to Delhi and working for all these companies. The goal was simply to prepare himself in such a way that he could really give Krishna to others according to the will of the Vaishnavas. That's wonderful. So we will fall down if we don't appreciate you. And you will fall down if you accept the appreciation for yourself. So this is the dilemma. Yes, Srinathji Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Once again, thank you for this wonderful class. I have a question, Maharaj. Between two senior devotees, sometimes we are sandwiched. Both are wonderful devotees, but they don't get along with each other. And we have to serve both of them. And this has happened, and our position then, whether to side with one or the other, how to remain neutral, and how to continue our Krishna consciousness and service, and to whom to serve, and how to serve.
Would you like to share some details? I think devotees are more eager to hear the details than than whatever answer I can give. Okay, that's a good answer.
So, Maharaj, I will speak to you personally on this. It's a very embarrassing thing to...
Yes, yes. We understand very well. But it is our great pleasure to see you embarrassed. It's a very rare opportunity to see Srinathji Prabhu embarrassed. But in principle, there are different ways in which we can act in such a bewildering situation. One is we can inquire from a devotee senior to both of them and get their guidance of what is best for our own spiritual life. And the other is, if we're more inspired and we have more confidence that we're serving Krishna in a greater way by assisting one senior devotee, then we can follow our heart in that way. But we should be respectful to the other. It's very dangerous to take sides. We can follow one and serve one very faithfully because we feel that that's really our duty and that's what's most favorable for Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, we should offer all respects to all senior devotees. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, even when senior devotees are having fights, we should not side with one against the other, or we can fall down for offense. But at the same time, you know, we should perform our particular duty according to what's most favorable for our Krishna consciousness. Yes? Microphone, please, to Srinathji Prabhu. You see, this is what happens when there's no electrical current.
I still have a slight doubt, Maharaj. You did mention, when I asked the question, without giving names, I'd like to say that when I saw these two great devotees having their difference, but one of them had more difficulties later. Now this gentleman is again trying to become Krishna conscious. So between the two, one has already advanced very high. The other gentleman had his downfall and again he's trying to revive. So what should be the attitude towards the person who had fallen down and who is now trying to get back to Krishna consciousness?
We should certainly try to help them according to our capacity. According to time, place, and circumstance. In helping them, we should not seriously compromise our own devotional service. Otherwise, we really can't help them. And in helping them, we should not take sides against very serious devotees who are in good standing. But by offering all respect to that devotee who is doing well, it is certainly an act of Vaishnava compassion to try to reach out and help those who have had difficulties. And their difficulties may have been due to offenses. But if they're actually really trying, it's not our business, the reaction to their offenses. That is Krishna's business. Whatever the cause of a devotee falling, if they've actually learned their lessons and they're trying to come back, then certainly individually and collectively we should all be, you know, trying to bring them back. Because that's what would please Srila Prabhupada. Anybody who has ever done any service to Srila Prabhupada is very dear to him. And we will be very dear to Srila Prabhupada if we could bring back such a soul. Providing we don't, in the process, disturb the spiritual lives of others. But we can speak in a private meeting sometime later. Thank you very much. We should end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. Thank you very much.